Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and The New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun ownership in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Good day, Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Let's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. All right, so, man, I tell you, people are upset about the protests. Last night downtown in Austin, we had protests. People were trying to get to work. Yeah, there's a video that's going viral on the web where a black guy, you know, was yelling at the Black Lives Matter protesters who were blocking the interstate or the ramp on off the interstate. And so, this seems to be something that's, you know, all around the country. It seems the people that are actually protesting are not black. They're actually white guys that are protesting under the guise of Black Lives Matter. And so my question for you today is, should shooting at a vehicle driving away be considered deadly conduct? What about the Mike Ramos case? You can't protest the cops and then act like the cops. So once again, that question is, should shooting at a vehicle driving away be considered deadly conduct? I want to talk about that. Hopefully we can get Skip Davis, an attorney here in Austin, on the phone. Inside the studio, I have a Brandon Anton.
Yes.
And inside the studio, and he's with an organization called, what is it called?
Black ATX Tactical.
Black ATX Tactical. It's a Facebook group here in Austin, Texas. And also Derek Wills. Derek is going to talk to us about his stance. Derek used to be with Lone Star Gun Rights, and so he's going to tell us, you know, what his thoughts are on the shooting that took place here in Austin as well last weekend. Also, the identity of the shooter has been released. Daniel Perry, who's a sergeant in the United States Army. We're going to break all that stuff down for you. And protesters shot at a vehicle as it drove away from the scene of shooting. Should that protester be charged with a crime? The Garrett Foster Memorial has been vandalized. I want to talk about that. Police warn apartment complexes off of I-35 to watch for armed protesters getting on the roofs of buildings. And I have reports from the United States Army that some people were actually detained by local law enforcement who were actually on the roof. So gonna hopefully get some information about that. Also, armed Boogaloo Boys protect protesters last night. Who in the world are the Boogaloo Boys? Somebody needs to call me and tell me what all that's about. Our call-in number is 512-6. I'm going to always get this wrong, because I look at it right here and I don't look it over there. 512-543-2284. That's 512-543-2284. Come and talk it. Give me a call. Tell me what your thoughts are. What is going on? And I can't say what I really want to say on the air because I get in trouble. So I'm just going to post it on Facebook later on tonight. Is that okay, producer? All right, good to go. He said that's good. All right, good. All right, so my question for you, should shooting at a vehicle driving away be considered deadly conduct? And isn't this literally what the Mike Roma's Brigade was protesting the night of the shooting, that one of their members was actually shot and killed by a driver in a vehicle. So let's go back. Let's talk about the Garrett Foster. Garrett Foster was participating in a protest last Saturday night with a group called the Mike Roma's Brigade. Well, as they're marching along downtown, another gentleman that happened to be in a vehicle, a rideshare vehicle, just dropped off a passenger, Daniel Perry. He makes a right turn, and as he makes a right turn downtown on one of the streets there, onto Congress from 4th, all of a sudden, the protesters surround his vehicle. He sees someone with an AK-47. He says they pointed the gun at him, and instead of waiting for him to see the muzzle, to see the entire hole of the gun, he pulls out his concealed handgun. He fires a shot, several shots. He stops the person, and I counted 5 shots. And then he drives off. He drives away. As he's driving away, there's another person that's in with the protesters, was a medic, according to Skip Davis, who was an attorney on the phone with us last weekend, said he was a medic for the organization, pulled out a concealed handgun who had a license, and fired 3 shots at the vehicle as it drove away. And then no one's accounting for the last shot. There's one last shot that no one's counting for. No one's mentioning anything about the last shot that came from a totally different gun. So I'd like to know, who's the third shooter? Will someone please tell me who is the third shooter? And I do want to play the video so you guys can listen to that audio, because there's 5 shots that came from the driver, and then there are 3 shots that came from the medic that was in with the protesters who were blocking the roadway, Class A misdemeanor. And then there's one last shot after that that came from a totally different gun, which is a deeper sound. And you got to listen to that. Listen, you got to go back and look at the video. You got to listen to it. Don't look at it. Just listen to it. Listen to the sounds. 5 shots, 3 shots, 1 shot. You know why I know this stuff? Because my job at the gun range is to listen and know when all my shooters have fired all their shots. My job, if I have 8 people on the firing line, I need to make sure I know that all 8 people fired all their shots. And I need to know who's missing the shot, because, you know, that could be you know, we can have an accidental discharge if we don't know what's going on. So I like to count my bullets. And that's why I know that last shot was totally different, different sound. But you know what? I do want you to listen to this when we get it pulled up. Yeah. All right. So we'll get that pulled up for you a little later. But I have inside the studio, Brandon Anton. Brandon, you know, tell me a little about yourself and, you know, and where were you last weekend, last Saturday night?
Yeah, so as you mentioned earlier, I have a Facebook group called Black ATX Tactical. And it's really a facility to help people that are, this is obviously a story for Black gun owners in the United States. We're trying to highlight that and be a facility for education and empowerment for those people. So it's like really cool. But
You mean tell me there's an organization with black folks in Austin, Texas that are pro-gun?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. And I think it's like, first you have to get
that's
over.
That's what people want you to believe. They want you to believe there's not, you know.
Right,
they want you to believe that the black community is not interested in the Second Amendment. All right, we come back from the break. I want to come back to Brandon. I want Brandon to expound on that a little bit and tell us about his organization. What do they do? You know, the fact that, you know, how many people are actually in the organization. It is a black organization that actually supports the Second Amendment. We're talking about this. We're going to talk about the shooting that happened last Saturday. Should shooting at a vehicle, driving away, be considered deadly conduct? This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Peace, this is Maj Toure. You're listening to Come and Talk It Radio with Michael Cargill.
Austin. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary. What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
That's right. We're back and we're talking about, you know what? The Austin shooting. Everyone's talking about these protests. We're talking about Black Lives Matter. Should shooting at a vehicle driving away be considered deadly conduct? You know what? Let's talk about what the Texas law says. When it comes to use of force and deadly force, when it comes to the Castle Doctrine, does everyone understand what does the Castle Doctrine mean? That means that if my vehicle, I'm in my vehicle, and if someone attempts to enter my vehicle, I reason believe someone is attempting to enter my vehicle or remove me from my vehicle, I can use force, a deadly force, to stop them. If I think someone's trying to kill me, I can use force, a deadly force, to stop them. Do I need to wait until I see the muzzle of the gun? That's the question. And that's the question for a jury. You know, was he attempting to enter the vehicle? Do I need to wait till I see the muzzle of the gun? Well, we'll see what the jury says, because now that's going to be probably most likely handed over to a jury. We'll see. Maybe not. Maybe so. You know, but then how about the person that's standing in the crowd with the protesters? You know, you're in the crowd with the protesters. All of a sudden, vehicle fires shots. That vehicle drives off. Can you shoot at that vehicle? No, you cannot. People, literally. We're talking about the Mike Ramos case. Will someone please get their head out of their three-point of contact and tell me what was going on? On that night, you had the Mike Ramos Brigade literally downtown Austin protesting because Mike Ramos was in a parking lot. Austin police officers surrounded his vehicle. He drove off. They shot him, killed him. And now you're telling me that the person in the crowd with the protesters at this shooting last weekend would be justified in shooting at a vehicle that's driving away? You people are acting like a female who's 52 years old, who's going through menopause. Explain to me what are your feelings, because I'm totally confused. I have inside the studio Brandon. Brandon, Black ATX Tactical.
Hello.
What's going on, Brandon? Tell me what's going on, sir.
There's a lot of things that happened in the incident that are open to interpretation right now, so we can certainly get into that. I see you're very passionate about that. But I was going to give you a highlight of my group real quick just to tell you that, yes, there are Black gun owners in Austin that are pro-Second Amendment, and I do think that we're focused on empowering people through education on this sort of stuff. So I came from a background, I'll tell you that, I have family that have been, you know, they're in law enforcement. My aunt was at the whole, like, Waco Branch Davidian thing. She was ATF. I have family and military. They're actively serving. So I've always grown up and respected firearms and everything like that, but I just knew not to touch them. It's just that it was just something that I knew that. But I didn't start shooting until probably 5 years ago. One of my friends kind of, when I lived in San Antonio, kind of got me more into it, and I got more interested. And I kind of took a sports shooting perspective, and then I took a self-defense. But I came from a martial arts background. I used to do mixed martial arts, competed and everything like that. But I was thinking to myself that not everyone has the privilege to have this, have the opportunity like I did to learn about firearms and gun ownership. And I know sometimes Black people don't always feel the most comfortable there. For me, like my experience with firearms in the gun community have been overwhelming positive. So I would like to emphasize that. But I know like everyone, you know, I'm trying to basically help everyone else out. And yeah, you have to talk to people. Like I said, first there's the hurdle of, especially here in Austin, it's like, why do you need a gun, right? I always ask that. So, like, I'm 6'1", 205. I don't think anyone's going to, for the most part, try to attack me, but people, like, they ask me, like, why do you need one? And I explain to them, well, why not? You know, like,
and why would you? Typically, the Black community, they're anti-gun, are they not?
Not. So, here's the thing is, when you talk about, or I'm from the South, right? I have family in Alabama and Georgia. So I'm telling you that we definitely believe in our Second Amendment rights.
I don't know any Black family that don't own the gun.
Right. To be honest exactly. With you. Yeah.
So I don't know where that even comes from.
I don't know where that came from. Like probably like urban areas because there's like a stigma surrounding it. But like I'm talking about like I have family in the country. You need to defend your land. And you don't, you know, like that's just the thing. So,
and I'm confused about the crack that some people are smoking, because I tell you, especially within the last few months, that's all I have. The majority, like this weekend, the majority of people that took my class this weekend were black males, black females who were young,
right?
Young black females and black males.
Mm-hmm.
And I have 20 people in class, you know. I had 20 people at 8 o'clock in the morning. I had another 20 people at 1 o'clock. We had two classes on Saturday.
Yeah.
Mostly black males, black females who were young.
Yeah, some people are like trying to, like now with the whole COVID stuff and all the, what was going on, the political climate right now, they see it as important. But now, you know, you kind of see now, it's hard for even me like get ammo or like 6 months wait on a Glock 19. It's pretty crazy. So like, now you see what we're seeing, right?
Right.
So, but, you know, like I said, I think that a lot of millennials and Xennials, wherever they call themselves, definitely will be more anti-gun and everything, because they have this, you know, they push this narrative and things like that, and they ask, like, why, you know, why do you need it? That's the thing. And then we are in this kind of amidst this hysteria. And you look at, I mean, historically, look at how, like, during civil rights and everything, like, the people think that we won civil rights through nonviolent means, just by nonviolent means, but having a sense of armed resistance was very integral, important to getting our civil rights. And people forget that.
My Second Amendment protects the first.
Correct. And people forget that a lot. People want to dismiss that or kind of not talk about it. You know, there's books out there I'll recommend, like, there's one, this nonviolent stuff will get you killed. There's one like that. Or,
and see, the difference between you and me is I'm more aggressive when I say it. You actually said nice and polite and proper. Me, I curse and yell and scream.
I'm just trying to be palatable to people. I have to give them a little, you know, give them a little approach. Like, yeah, I respect you. And like, there is a, we need people like you or having degrees of that. But some people just need to be inching approached and just tell people, like, hey, this is the reason why. Like, I have a mother, my mom lives in Georgia. My grandmother are out there and stuff like that. You know, a lot of, I lost my father a couple of years ago and things like that. So it's like, black women, for example, don't always have the means to protect themselves. And I love them. And luckily they have guns and everything like that.
All right, so now, Brandon, tell me what happened last weekend. So you were actually driving downtown.
Yeah.
And why were you downtown?
I wasn't doing the most exciting thing.
Did you know there were going to be protests downtown?
No, I didn't. No, they didn't have a, no, I'm just, I went to play Frisbee with a friend and then we got ice cream. It's not the most exciting thing I've done, but. Mm-hmm. When I left Zilker Park.
You mean tell me you didn't go down there looking for trouble?
No, I ain't looking for trouble. Like, there's residential areas. There's a bunch of things like that. There's stuff still open, right? Okay. There's still restaurants.
So you just so happened to be downtown.
Yeah. About an hour before this happened, I do have video footage of me of stopped on, like, 6 in Congress, and they're just in the road. You know, they're protesting. And it's kind of unusual to me because usually when I go downtown, they're on 7th.
Right.
In front of the police station, everything like that. They're protesting and usually congregated in a manner that's kind of orderly, and they're not like disrupting traffic or anything like that.
And see, the reason I brought you into the studio because I'm so tired of the majority of people that are being interviewed from the Black Lives Matter organization are usually white males and white females. And I want to get a black male's perspective on what is going on with the Black Lives Matter movement.
Right.
You know, what a concept.
Yeah, I mean,
Call me, by the way. My number is 512-543-2284. Tell me how you feel. 512-543-2284.
Oh, my God.
Give me a call.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right. There's definitely a perspective. I think there are a lot of people that are down there, like white men, white women, things like that.
Right.
And I think it kind of like, I think that.
What killed me is I actually was down there yesterday, and I literally heard white males, white people from the Black Lives Matter program, movement calling black police officers the N-word.
I didn't hear that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So tell me, all right, so you were downtown.
Yeah.
Are you downtown, and what did you see?
So after my friend and I got ice cream, I was like, hey, there's protests going on. Like, it's kind of crazy. You want to see them real quick? So I drove down 7th and then got on 6th, and then I turned left on Congress going towards 4th Street, right?
Okay.
So we're going towards 4th Street, and then we're stopped because there's people they're like in front of 4th,
right?
Between 4th and Congress. So we're forced to stop, right? So we kind of park in an adjacent parking lot because my friend, you know, we just want to observe people, watch things like that.
Okay.
My friend says, you know, let me get out and take a picture, right?
All right.
So as soon as he's about to get out, we see people rushing towards the vehicle or rushing towards something. At the time, I didn't know.
Right.
Here are 5 shots. So I'm having to
no curse.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I heard five shots. So I'm leaning back. So we don't know what's going on. I'm trying to take cover, see what's going on, everything like that. So people are rushing. So I try to get out there as fast as I can.
All right.
And that's all I saw. I saw people rushing, everything like that. But to the climax of it, like I said, I saw people rushing towards the vehicle.
Right.
And I was coming from like I said, you're coming from the Capitol.
Correct.
Towards that. So I saw a different vantage point.
Right.
And then obviously, first responders were there almost immediately, within the 5 minutes.
Correct.
So
did you hear shots?
I heard five shots.
Five shots.
Yeah.
Now, and that's my question to everyone, because I had the five shots which came from the vehicle, the driver.
Mm.
Then there are three shots that came from the guy that was the medic for the organization for the Black Lives Matter. And listen to this audio right here. Listen to this. Listen to all nine shots. One, two, three, pow, that last shot. That no one's accounting for the very last shot at the end there. That came from a different gun. So there is a third shooter that is hiding out, and people in the crowd, they know about it. So people are lying about what actually happened. They're trying to paint their own little narrative. We're going to talk about it when we come back from the break. I have Derek, who's with Lone Star Gun Rights, on Skype. Also on the phone, I have Skip Davis. He's an attorney. And also Gary's on the phone too. So I want to talk to them when we come back from the break about what's going on downtown, what's happening, who should be charged, who should not be charged, because there's some deadly conduct going on there. We're going to talk about that. We're going to break this down. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Coley Noir, and you're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back and we're talking about the Austin shooting that happened last weekend when Garrett Foster was shot and killed. He was participating in a protest in downtown Austin with the Mike Romas Brigade and Black Lives Matter. And so my point is this. When it comes to the Mike Romas Brigade, last weekend they were downtown Austin protesting. The reason they were protesting is because Mike Romas was in the parking lot outside of his vehicle. Officers responded to a 911 call, and Mike Romas drove off. Officers shot him, killed him while he was driving away.
Didn't they shoot him in the chest first?
I don't know where they shot him. I know they shot him, and he ended up dying. And so the thing is, my point is, this organization, Mike Romas Brigade, they were down there protesting because of that shooting. And literally, one of the people in their organization shot at a vehicle that was driving away. You literally did what you were protesting against. You cannot act like the police. You can't protest them and then act like them. You can't do that. You got to pick your choice. I mean, is this a female on menopause? What's going on? Give me a call. Even the ladies who are on menopause, give me a call. 512-543-2284. Come and talk it. All right, so on the phone lines, Derek Wills, Lone Star Gun Rights. Derek, what's up?
Okay, so just for the record, I'm no longer with Lone Star Gun Rights. I resigned my position following the Garrett Foster tragedy.
Why is that?
Because I don't want to get into it. LSGR is still a great organization, but my principles will not allow me to continue affiliating with LSGR.
All right.
Now, you're trying to show similarities between Mike Ramos and what happened following Garrett Foster's death.
Yes.
It's not the exact same thing.
Okay. Do tell.
Police showed up to a 911 call because he was allegedly doing drugs in his own vehicle.
Okay.
Which you can argue about whether it should be illegal or not. I'm of the mentality that it shouldn't be, because he's not harming anybody but himself. He has the right to do whatever he wants with his own body.
Okay.
Cops show up, bring lethal force to him. They are show up with weapons drawn, telling him that they are going to kidnap him and throw him in a cage for doing something that, quite frankly, he shouldn't be in trouble for doing. He then
Was it against the law?
It doesn't. To me, it doesn't matter.
Was it against the law?
I don't care if it's against the law. Gotcha. You have the right of your own, because you of self ownership. You have the right to do whatever you want to your own body.
All right, got it. Now, so ignore the law. Go ahead.
Car,
I'm good.
He gets in his car. He drives away from the police officers. He is not a threat to anybody, and they dump lethal rounds into him, killing him.
Okay.
Conversely, Daniel Perry had just unloaded 5 rounds into a man that had done nothing wrong.
Okay.
Completely different scenario.
Okay.
So, yes, they are returning fire at that point.
How is that a completely different scenario? Can you, under the Texas law, can you shoot someone who's driving away after they shot someone else? Yes or no?
I am not entirely clear on the circumstances of driving away.
Derek, under the Texas law, if someone takes something from you, they rob you, and they run away, can you use force or deadly force to stop them to recover your property?
Yes, you can.
Did he take anything, and were they trying to retrieve anything?
He took somebody's life.
No, but he didn't take their property, and they weren't trying to recover that property immediately after in fresh pursuit. Under the Texas law, they're not justified in using force or deadly force.
Is your life not your own property?
There's right, there's wrong, then there's the law. If we don't like the law, we go to the Texas Capitol come January 2021, and you change the law. There's right, there's wrong, there's feelings. You got to remove that. You got to take your heart from your chest, put it on a table, and follow the law.
Just comply, right? Because that's how tyranny keeps growing as much as it has.
Yeah, as a black, unfortunately, I'm not a white male. As a black male, yes, I'm going to comply. I'm going to comply, and then I'm going to get my attorney, and I'm then going to sue them.
See, what the thing is, you're not complying voluntarily. You're complying under duress, because the consequences of not complying is the state coming after you with the threat of violence.
All right. I tell you what, Skip Davis, because he's dying to get in on some of this. Skip Davis, come on in here, Skip.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. You know I love you, right?
I love your show. I like what you're doing. We have to keep the pot stirred to have the discussion that's finally going to meet out what the truth is and what liberty and justice really means. Let me talk really quickly. I want to just say something really quickly about Michael Ramos. They fired upon Michael Ramos. I've reviewed those videos pretty extensively. And it appears to me that they shot Michael Ramos because he wasn't following their orders. He made no moves that put any of those police officers in any danger whatsoever. And remember, the rules for the use of deadly force that are contained in the Texas Penal Code, statute number 9.51. You can only use deadly force as a police officer if you're saving somebody's life or your own. You don't get to shoot somebody because they didn't comply. That's what happened. They had a rookie who'd only been on the force for 90 days serving out there with his field training officer, who's the supervisor while you're on probation status. And this guy is the guy who fired the beanbag into Michael Ramos, which scared Michael Ramos into thinking he'd been shot in the side by a cop. And he fell. He didn't dive. He fell. If you look closely at that video, especially the last one, the body cam video, he is driven into his driver's seat by the force of the bag.
But Skip,
now,
Skip.
Let me tell you. Hang on.
All right, go ahead.
Hang on. Let me tell you, these beanbags are not inconsiderable. We've got several people now who are in the hospital with brain injuries from being shot in the head with these, quote, non-lethal weapons. If they were less than 15 meters away from Michael Ramos, and this rookie shot Michael Ramos with a shotgun shell, a 12-gauge shell that fired out a projectile, which was beanbag-like. We have it's not non-lethal at 15 yards to shoot anybody with a shotgun.
All right,
I don't care what it is in it, unless it's going to be one of those shotguns that Elmer Fudd has, where when you pull the trigger, the flag comes out the end and says pop.
All right, so answer this question for me, Skip, because we're not I'm not trying to argue the Mike Romo's case.
Know that.
All right, so but I want to talk about, was the person, the medic, who was standing in the crowd as a vehicle drives away, is he justified using force or deadly force under the Texas law?
It depends. That's a very that's why all these people who are engaged in gunplay must go to trial, so that all of these competing, complicated legal concepts can be married against the facts in a fairly sterile environment to really determine whether or not somebody in the use of self-defense, deadly self-defense, actually had a objectively reasonable fear.
It's to me, it's clear to me. It's clear to me that this guy fired his shots. He drove off.
Yep. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. So the driver fired the shots because he perceived that someone was trying to kill him.
No. Because he said he perceived that somebody.
So he reasonably believed.
No. Now remember, the jury is going to be the ones who determine whether or not that's true and whether or not that's objectively reasonable. Of course, somebody who kills somebody is going to say he provoked me. Okay, now continue.
All right, go ahead, Derek. I'm sorry, are you going to say something?
I like how we're completely glossing over the fact that he made a very aggressive right turn after running a red light into a crowd of protesters before anybody. Yeah,
aggressive.
Look at the dash
that
cam.
Aggressive.
The Uber driver.
Aggressive. Come on, guys. Really? Really?
Yes, absolutely.
That light had been red 5 full seconds before he even.
You guys are assuming that everyone's a great driver. Do you know? Let me tell you a quick story.
What we're assuming is that as a driver who's driving in a professional capacity and a man who was operating a vehicle as a limousine, although under these new rules of gig economy, that he will follow the rules of the road.
Well,
now, he did not. He did not even hit his brakes. He drove through that red light, and it had been red for 5 seconds.
Let me tell you, Skip.
In the next 2 seconds, he came to a stop. That's 7 seconds. That gives him 3 seconds to reach into his glove box, pull out a pistol, back the slide, roll down the window, stick it out the window, and shoot somebody 5 times. That's not possible. I've tried it several times in the last 24 hours. It's just not feasible. So that tells me that he was riding around with the gun on his car seat or the gun in his lap, would be most likely. And that gives me pause, because I can't say he did things purposely, but he purposely and intentionally ran that red light. And he executed that right turn.
I disagree.
And he stopped.
Hang on.
I disagree.
Let me answer your question. Let me answer your question about shooting somebody when they're driving off. The defensive property statute does allow for somebody who's trying to recover their property to use deadly force if they think that that property cannot be recovered under any other circumstance. Now, I understand your argument that there was no property exchange here, and I like Dwight's arguments that your life is indeed, you have a property interest in your life legally. That's the language we use. You have a property interest in your life, and property interests and liberty interests are the two highest constitutional interests and rights that are secured by the Constitution. Now, the question is this, not whether or not it was deadly conduct. Certainly it's deadly conduct. Remember, Art Acevedo even passed a rule that even cops are not supposed to be shooting at vehicles who are fleeing, which gives me pause about Mike Ramos. But the last thing I want to say about this is that a person who is acting, a person under Texas Penal Code 14.01 is allowed to make a citizen's arrest if they see a felony occur in their presence, or if there is a disturbance of the peace.
All right, hold on. We come back. I'm going to come back to you, Skip, and I'm also going to go back to you, Derek, so I'm going to let you get chime in there and say what you got to say. But I want to remind you guys this. My dad, my biological father, was in a crosswalk one day. A guy in a truck was making a right turn. The guy looked to the left, made that right turn, and never see my father. This guy cried in a courtroom and apologized to me for running over and killing my biological father, who was in a crosswalk, because he was looking to the left, not to the right. You're assuming that everyone's a great driver. With everything going on, you'd be surprised what people do in their vehicle. They're on their cell phones. They're doing a lot of things. We come back. We're going to talk about that and more. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Folks, this is Doug Man Jones. And I get my gun news from Michael Cargill at Come and Talk It.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so when vehicles are expected to obey the rules of the road, I guess pedestrians should be able to do the same thing. And no, Kyle Green says, so jaywalking is punishable by death now. No, it's not. It shouldn't be. But you know what? When you cross I-35, you know how many people get killed in Austin when they cross I-35? Quite a bit. You know, no, they shouldn't lose their life, but you shouldn't be blocking the roadway. That's a Class A misdemeanor. You don't have a right to block that roadway, but I do have a right, a privilege of driving on the road because I'm paying taxes. Go ahead, Derek.
Well, hang on now. They're paying taxes for those roads as well, so how come their ability to travel on them is not recognized by you?
They're not
traveling. Because
they're
not in a vehicle?
They're blocking the roadway. That's a Class A misdemeanor.
No, hang on. If you watch the video, they're walking down the road.
Actually, if you watch the video from the dash cam, you'll see that they walk out in front of the Uber driver, who is a rideshare driver, and direct traffic. You don't have a right to direct traffic. You're a civilian. Get off the road.
I will concede that point. But what you're failing to realize is that whenever you're watching this video that you have pulled up, you can see that there are people in the road.
What I see is a mob surrounding a vehicle. That's what I see.
As he makes a right-hand turn, Fuzzy Wuzzy, when he makes his right-hand turn, unless he's just completely oblivious to the fact that there are pedestrians in the road, in which case he should not be driving.
I would expect pedestrians to be in the road. But then all of a sudden, when I make that right turn, I see a mob surround my vehicle.
No. Hang on. You just had it on your screen, Mike. He was driving. He sees there are people everywhere. He makes his right-hand turn without any care about what is around that corner. There is a big difference between making a right on red carefully in order to yield to traffic as well as pedestrians and things like that.
You're making up stuff in your head. You don't see anyone making a turn aggressively.
I definitely see somebody making a turn aggressively. And whenever somebody makes a turn aggressively, don't be surprised whenever there's a crowd of protesters going to retaliate against that.
Give me that strain of weed that you're smoking. Skip Davis.
That guy rolled through that stoplight, turned right, yes, aggressively. He never slowed down, bro.
He stopped. He stopped because there's someone in the way, and he didn't want to drive into him, right?
Be careful, Skip. Be careful.
Have to yield the right of way and not cause an accident.
He yielded. He stopped.
He didn't cause an accident.
Somebody's inside the road incorrectly.
He yielded and stopped.
You don't get to run them over.
He yielded and stopped.
You don't get to run them over.
He didn't run them over.
He stopped, and the mob attacked his vehicle. A mob.
That's not true.
And a guy with an AK stood up next to his vehicle and pointed an AK at him.
There's no witnesses to confirm that. That's his story, and that's what you'd expect him to say. After all, he just killed somebody. There is not a single witness who has been produced that says, independently, that says that this guy Garrett pointed his weapon at this guy Perry. If that information was out there, I think that either Perry or Perry's lawyers or the cops would have said so and produce the witnesses like they do in every other case.
Well, I wish one of these brave souls would step forward and tell us who's fired that last shot if they think that they were such in the right.
Hang on, Mike. I've actually spoken with people who were there who witnessed this, that were standing 10 feet away from Garrett whenever he was shot.
One of those people that were saying, what happened? What happened? Did you see what happened? I don't know. What did you see what happened? I heard the video, too. Go ahead.
I'm talking with people who were part of the Boog movement that you brought up that I would proudly consider myself part of as well because I value liberty. Now, when all of them say that he approached at low ready, for anybody that's not familiar, I know you are, Mike, because you're a veteran just like me. Low ready is with your muzzle at the ground. You are able to raise it if needed, but your muzzle is pointed towards the ground. Now, if you also read his attorney's statement, he said he rolled down his window because he saw Garrett ask him to roll down his window thinking he was a cop. And then he realized, oh, wait, he's not a cop.
He's here to kill me.
He's not going to kill you. You don't ask somebody to roll down their window if your intent is to bring them harm with a weapon. If you're going to shoot them,
he looked like a school shooter to me.
Huh?
He looked just like a school shooter to me.
Okay, so
Mike,
is that your opinion of every open carry rally? We all look like school shooters now?
No, sir. I'm just calling it like I see it.
Don't forget the cops say that every black is a thug. Every encounter with a black man in a car, every traffic stop is a potentially deadly encounter. Why is that? Well, blacks are thugs. Let's not stereotype, Mike. Let's keep the conversation on the positive. I like the way it's going. You can shoot and you can make a citizen's arrest and use deadly force to stop somebody.
Not while you're committing a crime. You do not have a right while you're committing a crime to use force or deadly force. You're committing a Class A misdemeanor. If you're committing a Class C, then you would have that right. But while you're committing a crime, you lose that right.
All right, hang on, Mike.
Unless you're making a citizen's arrest or have been deputized, then you have the right to use force to stop a fleeing felon.
Mike,
where the felony occurred in your
you don't have the right to direct traffic. You can't tell me what I can and cannot do because I made a right turn on red. You can legally make a right turn on red. So tell me where he committed a crime.
But you have to yield to pedestrians,
who
Mike.
Are blocking a roadway committing a crime. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Hang on. Does that mean that if somebody's blocking the road,
don't make a right.
I'm not saying that they do, but if somebody is blocking a road, are you suggesting that they have the legal authority to run
them over? Once he realized they were in
the
road, he came to a stop. Now what?
Well, he shouldn't have made that a turn as aggressively as he had, and he wouldn't have had to, make people think that he was trying to run him over.
I didn't get that. From my perspective, I didn't think he was trying to run people over. I mean, I came from the other direction, and I parked, and last thing I saw was people congregating towards the vehicle, going towards. I would assume that if people's lives were at risk or things like that, they'd be going away from it, but that's just what I saw. So I hear all these things that have been going around. People have been saying, like, well, they'll ask questions like, did people have the legal authority to ride, drive down that road? Yes, they did. We're like, was the guy driving aggressive? And it's just, and to Michael, what Michael said, yeah, people are bad drivers. I can attest to that. I've been in Texas for a couple of years to attest to that.
Like I tell people in my classes, it's not about you all the time. It's not about, people not doing something to you. Usually people are distracted or doing other things, and they make mistakes. So that doesn't give you the right to surround their vehicle, pound in their vehicle, and approach their vehicle with an AK-47.
Hang on, Mike, may I ask you, let's assume carelessness here with his right turn. Let's pretend that I am flailing my fists in the air carelessly, and I strike you in the face. Now, whenever you fight back because I just hit you in the face, if I shoot you, do I have the grounds to claim self-defense? No, because my negligence caused an aggression against you first. You were the one defensive. I was the one offensive.
Did I stop and run away? If I stop and ran away, then no, you can't.
No. I'm asking if my careless flailing of my fists hit you in the face and you retaliate against me because I have now negligently harmed you. I have aggressed against you. Does that give me the right to shoot you now to defend myself because my negligence
doesn't give neither one of us a right to shoot each other because, you know, that's not, you're not trying to kill me. At least I don't perceive you trying to kill me.
Garrett never shot anybody. Garrett never aggressed against anybody. So at minimum here, at minimum, you have a negligent homicide where Daniel Perry is guilty of.
Did Daniel Perry hit anyone with his vehicle?
He hit them with five pistol shells.
So he never hit anyone with a vehicle. He didn't actually make physical contact with any of the protesters with his vehicle, correct?
According to witnesses I have personally spoken to, he actually hit Garrett's fiance, who is wheelchair bound. Not hard, but he hit her wheelchair. Now, that's just according to witness statements that I have personally talked to. It's obviously still under investigation, but here's the thing. The medic who returned fire and Daniel Perry cannot both be justified in their shooting. So you have to pick one. And I'm going to go with the medic whose side I'm going to be on because clearly, at minimum, Daniel Perry was negligent in driving through a crowd of pedestrians who rightfully assumed that he was committing an aggressive act against him. And then he decided to take it to a next step further and use lethal force and kill somebody.
Skip, let me give you the last word here. You got 10 seconds. Go ahead.
And there's a very good chance that both of those shoots, Michael, the Perry guy and the medic guy, they both might be justified. There's no rule that says they can only be one or the other. It's not binary. They both might be justified, but they both also broke the law and have to come to trial to put on their defense.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Skip Davis, attorney in Austin, Texas. Thank you, Derek Wills, for giving us your opinion. Thank you, Brandon, Anton, for coming to the studio as well. Remember, guys, you know, you got to treat each other and respect each other. Remember, more guns equals less crime. You go out there and you buy yourself a gun. You've been listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.